It's the sound of the trade bell, which will ring at about 10:40 Tuesdays to Thursdays with Sam Edmund to keep abreast of all the manoeuvring that's taking place behind the scenes, the various rumblings and the rumours, and maybe your questions along the way as well, because whenever Sam takes to the airwaves, there's just a flurry of theories, of hopes and of rumours that do come through, which we're happy to workshop, and maybe we'll pick a couple of case studies each day and debate what's going to transpire. Chief sports reporter here at SEN, he takes on the trade bell, Sam Edmund. Welcome, Sam.
Jared, good to be here and good to inherit the bell. Mind you, 30 days to go until the window officially opens. I hope it's made of stern stuff, but you're right. It's a season of hope, isn't it, for supporters whose teams haven't been fortunate enough to make qualify for finals and make the top eight. It really is a season for hope, and you just want your club to be improving, don't you?
You do, and everyone's got a way in which they think it should happen. So just before we delve there, you had the little homework assignment on Monday and then were off yesterday. So your instincts were spot on around Collingwood doesn't have all that they want in Perth, and Nathan Buckley did lay out the detail, including the camper van city that's been set up yesterday.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? And no, I couldn't get any person for the life of me to ring me back from Collingwood on Monday, Jared. Trust me, I tried my darndest. I never would have envisaged it was quite that bad. Now, they couldn't take the full squad over there, and now we know exactly why that is the case. I'll tell you what, can you imagine how much they've formed an us against them mentality over there? They've got Adam Simpson, the West Coast coach, calling them a dirty club, if you don't mind, in the quarantine sense, and half the staff are in camper vans.
I think the back page of the West Australian has gone with dirty pies and puts Buckley, DeGoey and Grundy up and sort of almost that smudged, pixelated image extrapolating on that idea. So, yes, I can imagine that's been pinned up here and there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It is going to be a fascinating battle, that one, isn't it? And just getting back to the trades, I mean, broadly speaking, the list sizes and the salary cap uncertainty has had an effect here, Jared, on some clubs more than others and on some players more than others. I think when we're talking about our A-graders, our top-shelf talent, it probably hasn't affected them as much. Clubs are willing to, you know, get them in first and ask questions later in that regard. But for pretty much every other player, they've been parked, if you like, at the moment while clubs wait for those list size numbers to be confirmed, even if they're not going to change that much, we believe, from this year on to next.
What did you think hearing the Essendon president, Paul Brasher, say he doesn't believe there's going to be a player exodus? There's a couple of players in Danaher and Fantasia who are sort of well-declared commodities in the way that they were thinking. Do you think he might get a shock over the next few weeks, or do you think Essendon will be able to becalm all of that?
Well, you have to take him at face value. I don't know what qualifies as an exodus, mind you, Jared, because they're probably going to lose three players. They might lose four. I mean, if you consider Joe Danaher, that he's going to go. Orazio Fantasia, that's another storyline from last year. He's likely to go all the way this time and leave with a year to run on his contract. Connor McKenna already has gone, which is why losing Adam Saad to Carlton will be disastrous. So four senior players, four players in their best 22. Is that an exodus? It might be. And that's without getting to all the other guys who are unhappy there, and we've spoken about that a bit this year, particularly in the back end of the season. Whether that translates to them leaving or not this year, maybe Paul's right, and it's unlikely. But four leaving out of your best 22, probably not ideal.
I think once you get to that second category, which includes Saad, so Saad was brought in, which means he believed in the vision of the club. Now he has the very clear decision to make, is while the dollars mightn't be the same, it feels like the terms are similar enough. So he either makes the decision, I no longer believe in what I was sold at Essendon and I'm leaving, or this is going to pan out. In a way, he becomes the bellwether.
Well, after we spoke on Monday, Jared, that deal did, or that offer from Essendon did improve. It is now 5 years. It was five, it was four, and now it's five again. Ultimately, as we sit here and speak now, he's unsure of where he wants to play this year. It seems a straight choice between the two big Victorian clubs, Essendon and Carlton, who lead the queue to take him off Essendon's hands if he does decide to leave. It is as much, if not more, about the direction of the club as it is the terms. It might have started off with some haggling over terms. Now he's had some time to think about the direction the club is heading in, as you suggest. So ultimately, he's got a decision to make. And what is often overlooked is that it is hard for players to leave clubs. I mean, it's not for 99.9% of them. It's not something they want to do. And for every trade that goes through, there's countless others that don't. Some become public, but many don't become public, who just don't happen because it's a big deal for a player to leave a club, Jared. When you've done it before as well and you're potentially going to your third club, even more so. So it's not a decision that Adam Saad is in of a mind to rush.
In my eyes, he becomes the vote of no confidence if he leaves. And then I did say to Paul, if I was hearing that Zach Merritt was contemplating leaving, that's the moment that I would get really concerned, is if somebody of his character and standing was wavering, that's where I'd be going, things feel amiss.
No, 100%. There is a bit of smoke in this space, Jared, and you've got to be careful not to put the cart before the horse there, but his name has come up in dispatches. Now, whether that is pure kite flying or whether there's something in it only Zach and his close circle know to be true. On the positive sense, they're going to re-sign Jordan Ridley, but this is, again, at the other age of the spectrum, isn't it? These are the guys they should be re-signing. That might be a four-year deal and close. Andy McGrath's a big one. That deal basically done, save for the finer detail. Kyle Langford's out of contract. Braden Ham the same. We think they stay. But it's that middle to upper echelon of players there in the contract sense that is cause for concern. And the Joe Danaher saga, Jared, just rolls on and on.
Yeah, and that hasn't been adequately dealt with. That rests squarely with the club. How broad is the Carlton net right now? I'm intrigued around Carlton.
Yeah, they are the source of a lot of that, aren't they? And they have been for some time, Jared. So that net has been cast very wide, but it hasn't been newly cast. It's been cast and recast over and over again into the bay. So they went really hard for Dylan Scheel, missed out. Went really hard for Stephen Cornelio, missed out. Went really hard for Tom Papley, missed out. They wanted Jack Graham, he stayed. And they're the ones we know about. They got Jack Martin on a massively front-ended deal to warn off rivals there. Mitch McGovern is very well paid. But Jared, the Blues, it must be said, they're the house with that fourth bedroom. Not a pokey fourth bedroom / study, a genuine bedroom. They have the room to make this happen. Now, they spent 105% of the salary cap this year, and this gets complicated. We won't get bogged down in it, but they use the AFL's banking system, if you like. The best way to explain that is they've maximised player payments and they've left themselves some room to recruit another season player at the end of this year and for beyond. So basically, there's a rule that allows clubs to spend over the salary cap up to 5% like Carlton have done if they have underspent on players in the previous two seasons. So it's why the Blues have some front-ended contracts this year. Cade Simpson's off the books. Matthew Cruiser is off the books. They're well stocked for key forwards, Jared, and even key backs. They need midfield support and they need more speed on the flanks as well. So Zach Williams is committed to Carlton as a restricted free agent. He used the day of his 26th birthday, if you don't mind, to tell Leon Cameron he was leaving when the coach was convinced he was staying, and then he completed a medical on the same day with the Blues. Williams will play midfield, and then they're also eyeing off for Adam Saad to play halfback. They can get them both in, Jared. Now, with Saad, they've got Williamson, Doherty, and Nick Newman. It was good for them last year, Nick Newman coming back from injury. But Saad offers what none of those guys offer, and that's line-breaking speed, and he uses it exceptionally well also. And he's still only 26, so he's got many miles left on the clock, if you like. So they're the two primary ones, the ones that we know about. There's been some murmurings about Jack Viney, but I wouldn't say that with any sort of confidence. That might be more very much a watch this space.
Okay, so let's do yes, no, and haven't heard that to finish off, okay? So these are the questions that are coming for you from the text, and I haven't heard that is a perfectly reasonable answer. Ready? Okay. Carlton were keen on hooker.
Haven't heard that.
The Saints are talking to Taranto.
Have heard Taranto mentioned in dispatches, Jared. Can't establish that as fact. Certainly can't establish it as fact that the Saints are interested. An extension to the answer. The Saints definitely interested in one of Taranto's teammates, that being Jai Caldwell, the young star from the 2018 draft who remains unsigned for next year.
Jackson Hatley to the Crows.
Yeah, no, they made him a priority a fair way out, did the Crows. Obviously a South Australian kid. They've been interested in him for a long time. They've made their interests well and truly clear. They would love to get him across. So If the Giants are to lose one of that trio of players, O'Halloran's in there as well, it looks as though it would be Haitley that would leave to Adelaide if that does happen.
Gunston and Bruce are gettable.
Certainly the latter, I have heard. I don't have a great read on the former. I'm not sure if that's people putting one and one together and coming up with their own answer. But certainly Luke Bruce. Geelong have been in contact with his camp to express their interest. So he's in that group of players, isn't he, Jared, at Hawthorn, that would be rightfully questioning how they want to spend the rest of their career. They've had amazing success. Do they go off looking for more or do they stay? Certainly Hawthorn want them to stay.
Those are your queries on the text and your thoughts, the trade belt. Yes, no, or haven't heard that. We'll finish each day with that, Sam. We'll chat tomorrow.
I like it, Jared. See you soon.
Sam Edmund on the trade belt.